This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
Lent, a season of reflection, re-evaluation, new beginnings, a time to recognize God's grace in our lives, to find ways to let that realization sink in and take root, drawing closer to God as we are changed by His love. In this season, we should give of ourselves, our time, money, possessions. Giving helps us to see better the needs of those around us. It brings to light those things that may have too high a priority in our lives. It helps us to separate what we need from what we want, stripping away the things that keep us separated from one another and God. We should fast. It helps us be reminded of the need for God to fill us, whether food or social media, your phone or computer. Fasting allows us to physically feel the ongoing spiritual needs of the soul. It helps us to see the truth that only God can truly satisfy. We should pray. It slows us down, focuses us on God, and enables us to be pulled away from our grip on the world and everything we think it can give us, and moves us closer to seeing God in the midst of it all. God is inviting us into this holy season, wanting us to be free from all the obstacles that keep us from His fullness. May we allow ourselves to be stripped down and cleansed, so that we may come to understand more powerfully the love of God, and be made new in His righteousness and alive in His grace.
Quiet, please. Our service is about to begin. Please rise as you are able.
I got off easy this afternoon. This music didn't want to play for us, so you don't have to sing this early. In the name of God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God. May God fill you with truth and joy. Let us pray. God, who is near at hand, draw us humble with the expectation you will listen and we will be heard. By the power of your Holy Spirit, soften our hearts, reminding us that we are your beloved. You are worthy of our worship, our love, and our devotion. Give us hearts and minds that are willing to offer and sacrifice praise of praise to your most holy name. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins. Merciful God, we have sinned what we have thought and said, and the wrong we have done, and the good we have not done. We have sinned in ignorance. We have sinned in weakness. We have sinned through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry. We repent and turn to you. For your sorrow, Savior, Christ's sake, we know our lives to the glory of your name. Amen. Through the cross of Christ, God have mercy on you, pardon you, and set you free. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. God strengthen you in all goodness and keep you in life eternal. Amen. Let us pray the way that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Not let us fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, peace I leave you, my peace I give you, graciously grant this humble church peace and unity if it is your will. Amen. Peace, the Lord be with you always.
Absolutely.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Be seated, please. Who's taking the first reading today?
I am. All right. Hi, everyone.
Hi. All
right. This is a reading from the book of Genesis. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you. As many as came out of the ark, I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "There is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you. For all future generations, I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on earth. Work of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. A reading from the first letter of Peter. "For Christ also suffered for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteousness, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits of in prison, who in former times did not obey. When God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons were saved through water, and baptism, which prefigured. Now saves you not as a removal of the dirt from your body, but as an appeal to God for good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and power made subject to him." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, John.
Christ, King of endless glory. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tested by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." True Gospel, the Lord. Praise the Lord.
The Lord of the life.
Okay, be seated, please. So good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Why did Jesus call these disciples? I think he called them because they were willing to walk away. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And once they left their nets and followed him, Simeon and Andrew, they were willing to walk away from compromise. They left personal pleasure and comfort. They left an easy life. They left no conflict. They left getting along with everyone. They were willing to walk away from security. They were more than likely wealthy businessmen. From verse 19, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They were even willing to walk away from their families if necessary. Verse 20, James and John left their father Zebedee in the boat. They were willing to walk away from the religion of the day, Judaism, and become followers of the way. Paul was always searching for those of the way, from Acts chapter 19, verse 23. About that time, there arose a great disturbance about the way. Continuing in Acts, Paul says, "I persecuted the followers of this way to their death, arresting both men and women, and throwing them into prison." And from Acts again, "Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings." Jesus compelled his followers to follow the way. From John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Isaiah even prophesies about the way, and a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. Jesus called these disciples because they were willing to walk and live as servants. The disciples walked away from a life of pleasures, walked in the way of suffering servants. John died of extreme old age in Ephesus. Judas Iscariot, after betraying his Lord, hanged himself. Peter was crucified, head downward, during the persecution of Nero. Andrew died on a cross in Patras in Lucia, a Grecian colony. James was thrown from the pinnacle of a temple and then beaten to death with a club. Bartholomew was beaten alive in Albanapolis, Armenia. James, the elder son of Zebedee, was beheaded at Jerusalem. Thomas, the doubter, had a lance thrust through his body at Coromandel in the East Indies. Philip was hanged against a pillar at Hierapolis. Thaddeus was shot to death with arrows. Simon died on a cross in Persia, which is now Iran. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. You're willing to leave it all behind and follow. They're willing to give up themselves. God wants all of you. He does not want a part, but all. Remember the rich young ruler who asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" from Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. And Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. Leave it all behind." I think Jesus called these disciples because they were willing to walk away from compromise, from security. They were able to walk away from religion, willing to walk away from lives of pleasures and lives as a suffering and live as suffering servants. They were willing to leave it all behind. Now consider the song by Casting Crowns, "The Well." So I'm going to do something a little different today than we normally do at the end of our sermon. I'd like you to listen and read the lyrics from the song "The Well" by Casting Crowns, because I think it really hits the nail on the head. That's what I'm trying to get across to you today.
Leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind. I have what you need, but you keep on searching. I've done all the work, but you keep on working. When you're running on empty and you can't find the remedy, just come to the well. You can spend your whole life chasing what's missing, but that empty inside, it just ain't gonna listen. When nothing can satisfy and the world leaves you high and dry, just come to the well. And all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. Come to the well. So bring me your heart, no matter how broken. Just come as you are, when your last prayer is spoken. Just rest in my arms a while, you'll feel the change, my child, when you come to the well. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. And all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. So leave it all behind and come to the well. That you're full of love beyond measure, your joy's gonna flow like a stream in the desert. Soon all the world will see the living water is found in me, 'cause you come to the well. Yeah. It's all who thirst will thirst no more. It's all who search will find what their souls long for. The world will try, but it can never fail. leave it all behind, leave it all behind, leave it all behind.
Your pursuit of perfection,
leave it all behind.
Your fear of rejection,
leave it all behind.
We give thanks for all we have received, O God, gifts of love and time, money and abilities, and these bowls in this place. We turn forth to these gifts. Bless those who receive them just as we are blessed in the act of sharing them. Amen. As for us, Holy God, we offer our gifts to bring healing to the broken, hope to those in despair, light to those in shadows, and grace for all your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Beloved friends, in this season of repentance and healing, we accept God's invitation to be ever mindful of the needs of others, offering our prayers on behalf of God's community, in the church, and the world. For the church, that we may be built up in faith and demonstrate in our lives the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the courage to choose the way of faithfulness rather than popularity, service rather than fame, and sacrifice rather than power. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For a fresh vision that leads to action and strengthens us to serve you in our community. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those in positions of leadership and authority, that you do not misuse their powers, but offer respect and care for all. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For mercy, that during our Lenten fasting, we may be constantly aware of those in our world who are always hungry and thirsty, and share with them from our abundance. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the grace to be faithful to his example in this Lenten season. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For greater stewardship of the earth's resources, that God will help us understand the value of all living things and the wisdom to protect them for future generations. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who are ill, especially for Mark Thornton and Eric Johnston, that God will heal them in body, mind, and spirit. Restore them so they can be a blessing to others and share fully in the life of the community. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all who have died, especially for the 7-year-old son of Nancy Gomez, that they receive their souls be at peace in his fraternal embrace. And those left behind will receive the blessing of our Father's presence to comfort them. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We bring you all of our personal intercessions in the silence of our thoughts. Pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Fill us with your strength to resist the seductions of our foolish desires and the tempter's vain delights, that we may walk in obedience and righteousness, rejoicing in you with an upright heart. Amen. Amen. It is time for everybody's favorite heart service. That's right. Okay, folks, announcements. Here we go. Compliments, concerns, just complaints. Very simple, folks. You got one of those, you need one of these coming up right now. It's going to be the email address, feedback@dallasulc.com, or simply go to dallasulc.com and click on Contact Us. Very simple. You can't make a difference. We are a volunteer of all, we are church of all volunteers. Church of all volunteers. None of us take a salary, not even myself. What do? We donate. We only make it through your donations of the people here at the church, or our tithings, and for people out there in YouTube land and Yahoo Bill. What do I call it? Yahoo YouTube land and podcast Bill. That's what it is. I don't know if I got it from today. And people out there in the world that donate to us and that keep our doors open. That's what keeps us open, is these donations. We're not selling anything here. We're only offering the truth. So we rely on people out there in the world and people here in our community to keep our doors open. And we need your help. Please consider making a donation to Dallas Unified Church. If you think that the God that we're talking about, the God that we're trying to preach about, the God of understanding, the God of unconditional love, the God of all acceptance, the God of who forgives all, consider making a donation to Dallas Unified Church. We're trying to get that message out there of the true God that is out there, this true God that loves us and is our Father and wants us to thrive. And we're trying to get that meaning of Christianity, the true meaning of Christianity, back into the world, because I think it's been corrupted. And I think that the word Christian is not meant to be what it's being used as today. Christians are Christ-like, period. That's it. If you're not being Christ-like, you're not Christian. That's what we're trying to get out there. So if you believe in that, please consider making donations. Simply go to DallasULC.com and click on Donate. We are a 501c3 charity organization. All of your donations to Dallas Unified Church are tax deductible. You know, until I talk about money, which I'm not very good at, I always just when it comes to, you know, Bishop, I love the church, but I don't have any money. That person, guess what? I don't have any money either. So you do what we all do. It's a volunteer church. You come volunteer. Give us your time. Your time is your money. Simply go to DallasTLC.com. Click on volunteer. If you don't see a position on that little list that we've got on that page that you like, come on anyway. I guarantee you there's something I can put you to work doing. We always have something to do here. There's never a thousand things to get it all done. And we can always use your help. So please consider coming in. Come on in. Just go to the site, DallasRC.com, become a volunteer, or sign up with me here locally, or just call the church office. I'm glad to help you with that. Please. Pray@DallasRC.com. Pray@DallasRC.com. That is a, if you have prayer requests, and simply send us an email. That's what that is, an email address. Go to DallasRC.com. Also, you can do it that way as well, and just click on prayer request. We pray every day here at Dallas Ridge Life Church. You can keep your negative prayers anonymous, your requests anonymous, or you can ask your name to say. You can have your prayers. I'm kind of on it today, aren't I? You can have your prayers said during our prayers intercession during Sunday services, or you can have your prayers said during our daily prayers here at the church, where we pray every day here at Dallas Ridge Life Church. DallasRC.com, very simple. DallasRC.com, click on prayer request, or you can go to any email address, pray@DallasRC.com, send your prayer request. We'll answer prayer for you. Okay, moving on. But you just talk.
We've been in honest discussions about faith, life, religion, love, society, God, and so much more. Are you looking for someone to pray with, someone to listen, someone to offer honest advice, someone who cares? We have the perfect place for all of those things, and you can do it all from your laptop or smartphone. Welcome to the new era of Christian prayer, discussion, learning, and support in an ever-changing world. This is Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network. Every Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m., 5:30 Central Time, Bishop Mark goes live around the world, and everyone is welcome to join and even participate in the discussions and prayer. Your Path Live with bishopmark.online.church. It's that simple. Just type that into your browser and join Bishop Mark, and maybe even go live yourself and talk one-on-one with the bishop. Come check out Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, brought to you by the Pastor Sean Condren Office TV Network, this Wednesday at 6:30, 5:30 Central. It's simple. Just go to Your Path Live with bishopmark.online.church and enjoy.
There you go. Enjoy. Every Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. Central Time, 6:30 Eastern Time. That's exactly what he said. I shouldn't have repeated that. I think it was very clear. All right? Now, just to kind of sum all this up here, yes, we have Wednesday night call-in show, Wednesday evening call-in show. We're also on Channel 8 of the Pastor Sean Condren Television Network, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Check that out. Just go to PCOTVNetwork.org, and you can see us there. Also, this service is on our website, DallasRLC.online.church. So every Sunday, you can see our services here just by simply going to that website.
Channel 8?
Channel 8, that's right. Channel 8 is a 24-hour day, 7-day a week thing. If you watch us live, you're going to go to DallasRLC.online.church. That's where you watch the live service. On Wednesdays, to watch our Wednesday night show, you go to Your Path Live with Bishop Mark. Online.church. Okay. Three different places right there. And there's more to come. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Again, every time we have a service here, it's going to be live on the air. Okay? And you can go to DallasRLC.com. It's DallasRLC.online.church. DallasRLC.online.church. And that's where you see our live services. Okay? And a lot of times, if you go on there, there'll be a countdown clock on there to show when our next service is. So that's kind of useful sometimes if you don't know if we're doing a special during the week or something. You can see that countdown clock no longer be on, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if you miss any of our broadcasts or your live broadcasts and we're able to see it, you can always catch the recordings on YouTube. You just simply go to www.youtube.com/@DallasULC. Pretty simple. All of our stuff from the past 8 years, almost 8 years now, is on that site. So there's a bunch of... If you're just new to the church and you want to learn about us, that's where you do it. That's where you go back and watch some of our stuff and see how we've grown and see how we've changed and see how we've come up in the world as a church today. Dallas, you'll see www.youtube.com/@DallasULC. Okay? All right. Easy enough.
Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands off your head. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands off your head. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands off your head. Wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands off your head. Wash your hands, wash your hands. Wash your hands on forehead, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands on forehead, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands on forehead, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands on forehead, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands on forehead, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands on forehead, wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands on forehead, wash your hands. Wash your hands, wash your hands, forehead, wash your hands. And don't buy all the toilet paper.
I've already been tired of that one.
Why not?
No, I'm a lot better than life. I know. It's stuck in my head, though. Every time I get out of church, that's the song that's stuck in my head. I'm not sure that's right or not. That's the idea, I think, folks. I mean, why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? I'm going to tell me. Why do we do this every week?
To help you worry about washing your hands and how important it is, because just 20 seconds a day can actually...
20 seconds of time. You're trying to wash
your hands. Yes. Can save lives.
It can.
Right.
Look, the coronavirus, the flu, any kind of virus that's out there, usually you're going to catch it with your hands. I mean, sometimes a lot of it's airborne, depending on how you get close, but if you're practicing social distancing skills, you're going to get it with your hands. And, you know, we touch a lot of things with our hands, and then we go touch a doorknob, and our hands get blended in with all the other hands that touch everything in the world, and then we go and touch our face, or we eat something, or we pick our nose, or whatever we do. And that virus is then spread onto us, and then we spread it again to other people by not washing our hands again. Look, folks, it's very simple. Like, the easiest way, the quickest way to stop something like that from happening is to wash your hands. Become hygienically aware enough to wash your hands every time you need to, and even if you don't need to. You're outside, wash your hands. Check the dog, wash your hands. Eat, wash your hands. You're getting ready to eat. If you're done eating, whatever it is, wash your hands, folks. Get up in the morning, wash your hands. It's so simple, and this is the way we can slow down this virus and hopefully put it to an end. Because I'll tell you what, this is enough. I really have had enough of this virus. And I know that a lot of people have. And I keep doing this every week because I still see people not washing their hands. I saw people getting sick. And I saw people see people dying from this. It's unnecessary. We can stop this. Okay? All right. And go get vaccinated. Guess what? DLC is now on Roku. Roku through the PSEO TV network. Here's all the instructions here. It says add channel with the code, description PSEO TV network, and the access code there is C6PQPGT. If the easiest way to do this, folks, is to go to DallasULC.com and click on the on-air button. There you'll find all of the places that we just talked about, including the new Roku station. We are channel 105 on the PSEO TV network. It's really kind of cool. We've been kind of watching that here, and you look at on the network, just letting it kind of run. And we're enjoying it, and I hope you will too. I hope it helps get the message out there that we're trying to do here. Check it out. We'd like to thank Pastor Sean Conrad, Office Television Network, for considering us and bringing us onto Roku with them. They've done a ton for us in the last few months since we've kind of come into partnership with them, and we're forever grateful. And we are hopefully going to all thrive and get this message out of what true Christians are in this world by just these wonderful things that we're doing. These ways of getting out there. Like I say, if your churches don't change, if churches don't grow with the community, they don't evolve with the rest of the world, they're going to get stuck, and they're going to get stuck behind. And that's why I think we see so many churches today close, because they didn't move ahead with society. They didn't keep moving. And when you sit stagnant, you're going against the grain. You're going against what the universe is doing, because the universe is always moving, always changing. When you sit stagnant, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, folks. That connected about life, too, but also the churches. All right. Real quick, check it out. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, you know, we had two podcasts. We actually have three now, officially.
Three of them. Mm-hmm. Three podcasts.
Okay, y'all know about this. We've got Life Lesson with Bishop Mark, and we have Your Path with Bishop Mark, okay? Your Path is the stuff we do every Sunday here, right? That's just a regular Your Path. That's not the Your Path Live. Two separate things. Your Path is what we do here on Sundays. Your Path Live is what we do on Wednesdays. I know. Yeah, Life Lesson with Bishop Mark is exactly what it says. Life Lessons with Bishop Mark. Very simple, folks. You want to go to these, go to DallasULC.com and click on the live button. There you'll see the links to these as well. The other thing we've got on there is all of the, I told you about the live services we have. Anything that was live as far as Your Path Live is now a podcast. So we have Your Path the podcast, we have Life Lessons with Richard Mark the podcast, and we have Your Path Live rebroadcast the podcast. Yeah. No, look, any way I can get the message out there, I'm going to do it. I don't care how many ways it takes. I'm trying to get a message out to the world, and this is how we do it. And I'm grateful. Like I said, I'm grateful for Pastor Sean Conrad for helping us do this. But look, the more people we can get to, I don't care what it takes. Put it everywhere. I mean, put it on everything we can possibly put it on, because I want people to see it. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
If you think that's I'm not passionate, believe me, I'm passionate. Yes. Well, guess what? I think you made it. You did. You made it through the announcements. That wasn't too horrible, was it? Okay. Let us rise to our dismissal. We'll have a 10-minute intermission. We'll set up for the Bishop's Roundtable, and we'll have a brief Bishop's Roundtable today, okay? Let's rise.
Right.
Trusting in God, go from this place taught all you need, bring hope and peace to others. Trusting in Jesus, go into the world. Give all you need. Given all you need, go to serve those around you. Trusting in the Spirit, do not be tempted to stay, so go. Baptized in hope, go to welcome others as God's beloved. Amen. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Amen. Go now in peace to love and serve God. Amen. Amen.
We go in the name of Christ.
Thank you.
A Bishop a Day keeps the devil away. You're listening to Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas.
So, what would you like, what would you not like, what do you want to keep? Welcome to the Bishop's Round Table. How'd you like the service today?
It was shorter than normal.
A little shorter, yeah, it was. Okay. So now it's the time that you're going to talk about, I've done my talking, so it's now y'all's turn. We try this every week. Try to have y'all talk more than I do, we know it seems to work out that way, that's okay. We talk about the sermon, we talk about the church, we can talk about your lives, we talk about whatever's going on that you need to talk about here with us, with your community. And that's what the roundtable is all about you.
I leave it all behind going to the well.
Leave it all behind and going to the well. What does that mean?
Leave all your worries behind.
Not just worries. Our comforts, our things that we're used to, our families, our life, everything. Leave all of that behind and just go. Can you imagine that Jesus Christ walks in the door today here, okay? And he looks at all three of us and he goes, come on, let's go, follow me.
I'd hesitate.
We all would. We all would. I think we all would. Yet these disciples he called dropped it, dropped everything they were doing, their livelihood, their families, their comfort, the things they were used to, and they went. They took that leap. They didn't have cell phones to call the family and say, hey, I'm going on the mission with Jesus. And, well, I don't know, I'll be back. And then to find that they live these lives, right? They live these lives with following Christ and of the way, as they called it. And look how they all died. Horrible deaths. Yeah. Martyred. Can we do the same?
Yeah.
Can we?
Like that,
will we? Will we?
We'll have to find it.
It's challenging. It's a challenge, I think, from to try to follow in not only Christ's example at this point, but the disciples' example, and be a disciple, be the apostle, somebody who's willing to give up everything. You know, there's an order in the Catholic Church called the Jesuits, which I went to Jesuit college right here in Dallas, and I'm very fond of the Jesuits. They are a more progressive order. They're a little more middle ground, not so much conservative about things. The Pope today is also a Jesuit, and a little moderate on things. And one of the things that one of their vows that they take when they become ordained is the vow of poverty and the vow of chastity. So they take three vows, the vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience. You think about that. Think about your, 18, 19 years old, coming out of high school, going to college, and you go to college and you get out and you take these vows of poverty, chastity. You own nothing. You owe nothing to your life.
Wouldn't work.
You never have a family. You never have sex. You are celibate.
It wouldn't work.
And you're obedient to your higher up, God, first of all, also to the people who are your superiors in the congenital community. You are obedient to them.
I'd last 5 minutes.
It's difficult. And I admire these men that are able to do that. I think it's a tough life. I myself went on what's called a discernment retreat when I was younger to Grand Coteau, Louisiana, which is where they have what's called a novitiate, where you go to become a Jesuit priest. It's the first step of being a Jesuit priest, going to the novitiate. Mm-hmm. I went to what was called a discernment retreat. It was a weekend, basically. We got to talk on a Thursday night and had a meet and greet Thursday night. And then starting at midnight Thursday night, it was silent. We were in complete silence for Friday and Saturday and through Sunday until we left. And the only time we spoke was 1 hour a day. We spoke with a counselor, if you will, about our prayer for me. Because the whole idea is reflection and prayer and discernment, discerning where your life is going, right? And that was an amazing time for me. I had to really do some soul searching because at that point, I knew that I had a calling. I knew that I was supposed to be doing something.
But when about me for you? When about me?
No, it wasn't it. That wasn't it. And I can say I admire those men that are able to do so, but I feel that there are other ways to do things as well. Different things for different people. I mean, that's why this world is so diverse, and that's why there's so many different churches and kinds of churches. They all have their little niche.
And
they all have their people. They all agree with God.
I said, you got yours.
I do have a little niche, and I'm glad of that because I admire the Catholic Church. I think they've done some wonderful things, and some of their beliefs are fantastic. I also believe that some of their beliefs are outdated. I believe some
very
of their beliefs are just behind the times. And I believe that I see a lot of change in the last few years with Pope Francis and the Jesuit that I spoke of, who's the Pope. But they have a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep changing. That's the whole point.
I love this world, but you're innovative. You got real.
If you get stuck and aren't moving and aren't changing, you're just doing the same thing over and over again, you're going against the grain. Because why? The universe is always changing. It's always moving. It's always dying and being reborn. All those things are happening around us. And if you just sit back in this chair watching it, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're going against the grain at that point. And that's not what you want to be doing. You want to be in harmony with those things. That's the way you make life work. That's the way you keep things going. It's constant. And you know what? Change is not always fun. It's nice to be comfortable. It's nice to get in that lounge chair and sit back and watch your regular TV channel and just click every day, right? That's just not what it's about. It's about change. One of the things we just recently changed was coming on, going live with our services, which is, I'm telling you, it was tough. For almost 8 years, we've gone, just edited our stuff together and had been able to stop and start and do our thing. We can't do that anymore. But we needed to do it. And we needed to get up with the times. We need to be able to be live for you out there.
Trendy.
It's not necessarily trendy. It is trendy, I guess. Point is, look, if you want to watch a Sunday service on Sunday, you want to watch a Sunday service live. You don't want to watch it on Tuesday. And I get that. And it just took us getting over that hump and having Pastor John Conner, who's a huge part of that, was helping us get over that hump and become, our live services and our show's going.
Thank you, John.
Yes, we are grateful for that. We are grateful for that. Okay. So. They were willing to walk away. It was an end of the 30-day sermon. They were willing to walk away. And it comes to the question again. Are we willing to walk away?
I wouldn't have been before I met you, before my mom died, I wouldn't have been in, but I am now.
Are
I
you?
Realize it was a better place than this, but from where goes.
It's not about here.
No, it's not about here.
This is temporary. No matter what kind of riches we have here, what kind of friends we have here, what kind of love we have here, what we have here is temporary. And we will die. Our bodies will die. And our souls will go on. To where, I've never been there, so I can't tell you for sure. I can't tell you. In a lot of things, I can't tell you because I don't know. But that's when faith comes in. I know that we're going someplace. I know that God has a plan for us. Mm-hmm. And I know that it may not be, harps and clouds and all those things, but I know that we are supposed to be doing something here before we go, and that's to learn things. their enemy. If you look at life and look at what people learn, you have to learn a certain set of things before you can move on. You do, because that's the way it works. I believe those things that we learn here are things that we use in the next step of our journey here. And I think if we don't learn those things, we can have a real hard time in the next step. And I think
we would.
I mean, I think with anything, it's just like going through school. You know, if you don't finish the schoolwork and don't graduate and aren't able to graduate, you can't move on. So it's important to be able to get those things that you're supposed to get here, learn those things, practice those things, so in the next section of your schooling, if you will, you will be able to do it. You'll have that foundation that you need to build on that. Because you're talking about all other ground seeking sand. That's what they're talking about. That sand is not a good foundation to be on. You want to be on a solid foundation of your Christianity and your faith and understand what it is you believe in.
And leave it all behind.
And leave it all behind. Because you know what? You can't take any of it with you.
I always say that. You know me.
But when I think, I mean, if anybody is, you know, as I get older, I more people die. It's inevitable, right? More people I know die. And it's just very interesting to me, to see how families react to people dying and how sometimes they can get really greedy and hateful. And it's just not the way it's supposed to be, folks. You know, I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand. Wow. Look, these are material things, first of all. I understand what they know. Well, they wanted me to have. Well, you know what? If they wanted you to have it, they would make you have it. This is what we said. This is the law. This is what things happen. Even if they had a will, which I suggest, please, folks, have a will. I don't care how young you are, have a will. That way, your family doesn't have to go through that. Your decisions are final. Your decisions are there on paper, and nobody has to guess it. Well, they told me this. They told me this. Well, which is
he told me that,
right? And so it's all written down. That's what you do.
And I want it.
I mean, it's very important. I mean, my partner had a will. We had a will together. Unfortunately, a few days before he passed away, it was changed. So some things happened there, and at that time, I don't have the right to really fight that, because during the legality. We were nothing but roommates, basically. And so I didn't have a right to fight his family or anybody else for those things. And like I said, they were just things. Yes, it was hard. But they are just things, and I can move on from that. My mother passed away without a will. And that was difficult as well. So I encourage people. It's very important. It is. I know it seems like my father is one that I don't understand this. He doesn't want to go do this. And I said, Dad, you have to update your will. It's important. I don't want to think about it. He doesn't want to think about it. He doesn't want to think about his death. He's like, but Dad, you have to. Because it's inevitable. We're going to all go through it. Whether you think about it or not, it's going to happen. And it'd be better that you leave, your wishes are granted when you're gone. You don't want it to be with guests, right? I don't know if he's got it through his head yet. But my father is 72 years old now. Still going to school. I admire this man immensely. He works 7 days a week. He retired from selling homes, and he now is a counselor. He's a licensed counselor, and he's still going to school for his doctorate in psychology. He's also going to school for this is interesting here. He's going to school for pastoral counseling as well. He's become a pastoral counselor. So I guess he's following in my footsteps on that one. I actually had to write him a letter of recommendation from me to his school to get him into that class, into that particular degree program. I thought it was ironic, but interesting. I hope he's enjoying it. He's called me on a couple occasions, and we've debated a few things. And believe it or not, he doesn't believe it, but my father and my our ideas on faith and our beliefs are really very, very similar. My father thinks I'm very, very liberal, very out there, very, you know, crazy about, you know.
You are even more.
But I'm not. I'm very moderate. I'm very much
in real.
Really, I am. I'm very moderate. So for me, that's kind of boring because, you know, but here's the deal. So many people today want to go left, they want to go right, and this country has been split. And what do we say about that? A country divided, a family, a country, a kingdom, whatever divided, will not stand. And we continue to do so with these parties, two-party system.
We're
falling apart. And because it doesn't work. We go two steps forward, and then we have an election, and we go four steps backward. Well, I've watched this country go from number one in every category of education to near the bottom of the list in almost all of it, because it doesn't work. We're not taking care of our people. We're not allocating our money correctly. We're not spending our money correctly. We're not, our taxes are not being put in the right places. And that's our responsibility to make sure that doesn't happen. And how do we do that? We do that by voting. You know, I don't go and vote either all Republican or all Democrat. I never would do that. I vote based on what I have watched, what I've learned about these people. And that's your responsibility as an American citizen, is to learn what these people's values are. Because when they get in there and they vote on something and they start these laws rolling, and you go, wait a minute, I don't want that law. When you elected these people, you should have known what they were going to do before you went in there. Right? So I encourage people, vote. I mean, I can't get a whole bunch into politics just because of the law here, and is what I can do on the pulpit here. But I can tell you to vote. And vote with a mind that has gone through things and thought things out and become educated. Don't just go and say, okay, left, right, done. It's not what it's about. It's a privilege to be able to vote, first of all. And that privilege includes the fact that you must go in educated. Just going in by name recognition or just like doing the left Democrat or Republican or you hate this one, so you're going to vote for that one. You know, I'm serious. Use your minds, folks. God gave you a brain for a reason. Use it. If you don't, the country's going to continue to do what it's doing now. What it has done for the last several decades. It really has, because it's just, here's what I believe about our country. When the Cold War ended, during the Cold War, we had an antagonist, physical, it was it. That was our enemy was Russia, was USSR, right? United Soviet Socialist Republic. Mm-hmm. And we were scared of them. We should have been. We were scared of each other.
They got close.
And what do you do? We were trying to advance our arms, our space race, advance our education. We put all that money into those things, and those things were thriving. They were doing great. They were doing wonderful. Well, that ended. We kind of went, oh, okay. And then we went, well, now who are we going to have arguments? Who are we going to debate? Who's going to be scared of? Who are we scared of? And what happened? We got scared of each other because the parties then started attacking each other and dividing us, and it's continuing today.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't remember when I was a kid growing up. I watched TV all the time. I never saw this political stuff on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, like it is now, 365 days a year. It was every 4 years. You know, we started having the stuff for the elections. Now it's all the time, all the time. Why? Because
they don't have nothing else to do.
Well, no, it's just everybody attacking everybody. It's what it seems like all the time. You said this and that, and the Republicans said this, and the Democrats said this, and these bad jokes about Republicans and bad jokes about Democrats. And come on, folks.
Finding dirt on somebody else.
Some of the people that are in office today are laughable. They're laughable. They we look at them, and we know that. We know that. We look at them and make fun of them on TV because they don't know their damn history. This is the United States, and you're a senator in the United States, and you don't know the history of the United States. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with them is we neglected them. That's what's wrong with them. I didn't mean to get on tangent there, but look. We talk about what we got to talk about. And that's what was on my mind. And I
have faith.
We have faith, but we also have to do something. You can have faith all you want. But unless you're moving your feet and trying to make a change in this world and trying to do things for other people, not just for yourself, not being selfish like so many people in this world are, doing it for other people, then you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. We talk about that. Our motto here is men and women for others. What does that mean? It means I'm not doing this for me. I'm not living my life for me. I'm living for everybody else.
Hope they change.
Huh?
And hope they change.
I can't force people to change.
No, you can't.
It's like, there's no adage. You can bring the horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Right.
You can't. But I can live by example. I can live by.
You do.
Well, I try to. I'm not perfect. I have my problems as well. I'm a human being, and I admit that.
I'm a human being.
It's hard to. So you know, I sometimes look at myself in the mirror and say, "You're a hypocrite."
Yeah,
because I sin as well. I some of the things I say here in church, I don't follow my own advice. But you know what? I'm human. That is hypocritical, and I'm human, and I'm hard on myself about that. But I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. And I never claimed to be.
I'm going to say something on camera. Yeah. Can't say that, dude.
It's all right. Look, I honestly teach from the heart. I do. And I don't know if people believe that or not.
But that's what I mean, believe it.
What I teach is what I believe and what I try and live by. And
but you don't force it on nobody.
I don't force anything. So I tell you, you don't have to go out there and be a Bible thumper to teach you what I teach. Go out there and talk about your life, how your life is, what it's like, what you do in your life. Live by example. You know, when you're out there, are you doing for others? Are you holding the door open for people? It's that simple. Are you holding the door open for people? Are you looking people in the eyes when you walk down the street saying, hey, how's it going? Are you acknowledging people? Are you helping those in need that you see?
Man, like when I was on the train the other night, and this young guy was walking back and forth.
His train story
was
so good.
He's walking back and forth, and he said, can I call you uncle? I went, go ahead, yeah.
Uncle?
And he just like told all his problems, his life story, his family, he don't have no family. He's got 5 kids, and he's 23. I'm going, well, young man, I said, do what you think is right, and above all, make sure your kids are happy.
Why do you think he came to you? Why do you think
he
saw
you? I don't know. There's 4 other people sitting there.
But why you?
2 of them got up and walked away. Because I guess he felt something.
Because maybe you were inviting enough and had an air about you that you would listen. And that's all he wanted. He wanted to hear it.
A lot of people do that.
I know that. And there's a reason for that, Don. There's a reason for that. And you know what? I've never heard you give bad advice.
I've always heard
you tell it honestly from the heart. Look, this is what you need to do. In my opinion, this is what you need to do.
And if you don't feel it that way, have a conversation with God.
That's the best advice you can give anybody.
And I think in a weird way, that's what he had. I told him what he needed to hear.
And let me tell you something. God works through us. We are what we call that all the time because we're the body of Christ.
We're conduits, yeah.
So, I've talked about it before. I've preached sermons and gone back and watched the sermon again later on. And I'll look, after the sermon, even the roundtable, things like that, where I'm more ad-libbing and stuff, right? And I'll look and I'll go, that doesn't sound like me. And I don't use those words. I don't remember even saying that. But it was, I'm like, hey, it was pretty good. And I think about it and I go, I get very humble at that point because I'm like, obviously something else, somebody else, some other interest, something was working through me. And people were, you're crazy.
I'm not
crazy. Trust me on this. When I'm able to look back at on a video like that and watch and say, I don't put words together like that. I don't put phrases together like that. Yet they came across very eloquently and what people needed to hear and it went very well. Look, something else is working through me.
Yeah.
And I'm honored, I'm flattered, and I'm humbled that God would choose me to allow His Holy Spirit to come through and send a message out, because that's all I want to do, is send that message out. I want people to hear what God wants.
And whether you know it or not, you do it all the time.
I know that. And
sometimes you look at me and you'll say something, and I'm going, okay.
And I don't even realize.
And I go home and think about it, and I call you up about 30, 40 minutes later, and I go, why'd you say that?
And I'll be like, what?
It'll be something that I need to hear from you. And I'm going, why did you say that?
If we listen to the words we say and really think before we talk, and I'm serious about this, folks. Think about, because other people are listening. Other people are hearing you. I don't care where you are. Other people can hear you and they hear what you're saying. And that's part of leading by example, is by using the words and being educated in what you're saying and honestly believing what you're saying and knowing that what you're saying is coming from your heart. If it's not coming from your heart, you don't need to be saying it. Seriously. Am I right?
Like some people we know.
Some people just talk. They just fly out. They don't think. They just fly out the handle. They just talk. Well, okay, great. What did you accomplish by that?
Nothing.
You accomplish some negativity, probably. Spreading negativity and gossip and all that kind of BS is not what life's about. Do not covet what your neighbors, or it's your neighbors, your possession. Look, keep your eyes on your own paper. You don't need to worry about what they're doing over there.
That's right.
They've got their own lives and you've got yours. Try and stay on the state straight and narrow yourself, because I guarantee you're not doing it. None of us are hard. We put this on that line, right?
Yeah.
God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He doesn't.
I know.
He made us this way. For a reason, okay. The only reason, the only thing I know about that is that we have to try.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can honestly try, and then repent when you sin, and really be sorry, and try not to do it again, look, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Love one another as I love you.
go covet thy neighbor.
Right, I mean, look, it's just ridiculous. These people are, you know, they want to gossip about this person, that person, this person. And then they go and they do the exact same thing, or even worse. And they, oh, my God, fuck.
And you know, you already did. God,
it's already been seen. Everybody can see what you're doing. You can see through your screen.
BS.
Your BS. This has no place in this world. I'm sorry. I don't have time to waste my voice on that.
I sometimes when you say I have an attitude, it ain't even that. It's just I'm thinking of something different.
Okay, fair enough.
It comes across like that.
That's all you have to say to me.
Okay.
Don, I got mad earlier because when he came in, he was very short. His words were very staccato with me. Very, you know, and I was like, what's the attitude? I don't have an attitude like that. It's like, you know,
I don't have an attitude.
He's explaining that now. He just was thinking. And I think that's right. I'm glad you're explaining that to me. Thank you. I like your shirt.
I wonder why.
William?
You're welcome.
You're quiet today. What's up?
Uh-huh.
You okay? You sure?
Wrong. We can tell something wrong.
You're fine. And we know what fine is, right?
Okay. He did sound good.
Something's
bugging me.
It's okay.
We know.
I talked to my woman.
No, something's bugging me.
It's okay. If you don't want to tell that here, that's okay.
A little Pete?
Stop.
Just kidding.
Stop.
Yeah, I'm messing with you. What? Chicken, something's bugging you?
It may be, but he's.
You know how to say body language? He always tells me, use your error.
I do, because you're error when you mess these up. God has a tendency to have a phone problems, and you call me up, and I'll say, shake my head. God, it's just user error. You just don't listen to what I'm saying to you, and you go and do all these things on your phone, and then God come crying to me, and don't worry.
I didn't say I didn't.
I know you do, okay. But it is user error.
But then,
you know what? Hopefully you're learning from it.
Yeah, Google it.
Google it.
That's a weird thing. Not tell me what the you're on your own.
I was working on the internet on the website today. The last couple of days online on our church website, DallasRealty.com.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about Google it, right? We have a new section in there. It's called. It's just a new tab is on there. It's called Live. And when you click on that tab, it brings up all of the places that you can see our services and our things we do here and the different specials we have and whatnot. Pastor Sean Condren out of the TV network and things like that. It's all right there on the website now. Which I wrote writing out what I want to do for that particular page. And I was like, you know, in today's world where information is at people's fingertips, we have to be available there. We have to make ourselves there. And that's what I was talking about earlier. We have all those places that I was talking about in the announcements that we are. And I'll keep putting us out there as many places as I can get us there because the more places we are, the more people are seeing us. One person, so I said, if I can help one person change their life, one person, then I will succeed in doing what I'm doing in this ministry. I've already done that. So now I do it, if I can change one person, help one person a day. That's tough. But I hope I am. And if I'm not doing it here live, maybe I'm doing it on a pre-recording, somebody's watching on YouTube or watching on the PCO TV network or watching on Roku. Maybe they're catching on that way. And I'm grateful because I can't be talking 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to people. And no matter how much I try, how much I'd love to, I can't do it. But I can now because we're out there 24/7 and my voice is being heard around the universe 24/7. So are yours. That's important. That's why I think it's so important that we, again, don't stay stagnant. We keep moving, we keep growing, we keep evolving with the world and with technology and things like that. And we're getting there. I'm grateful for Pastor Sean for helping us to get over that hump and get there. And it's going to be great. Anything else you have for me today, guys? Everybody understand what we're talking about in the industry, guys? I think we get it. I think we get what we're talking about, dropping everything and moving on and following, right? That's what we have to do. If you ever call on like Jesus Christ to do it, you do it.
But I need my phone.
No, you can't. I think that's what I'm talking about, the Jesuits. When you think about that, them going through that
poverty and chastity.
A lot of them still have family things. They're still able to do that. But if it came down to it, you know, if they tell you you're going to you know, Egypt, and you're going to be there with no phones, and you're there to minister to this tribe out there, and that's it, you know, for the next 20 years, you go do it.
And he's out the land.
That's what you do. Poverty, chastity, and obedience.
I knew that business, man. I installed it.
It's a difficult one. And as many in the churches have seen, it is difficult to keep that vow. Hopefully that God will help some of those who are having trouble with that. So, all right, folks. I had a good service today. I enjoyed it. Thank you all. Y'all worked very, very hard to make sure we were on time today. I appreciate it, both of you. Very, very much. Y'all did a great job. William is now, what's calling you?
The coordinator.
He's the show coordinator. He's the coordinator, and he gets on the headphones right before service, and he's talking to the studio back over in Lebanon and getting us set up, and you're doing a great job. You're doing wonderful. Thank you. James went off without a hitch. I appreciate it, guys. We had one little hitch, and that was that the internet went down on this computer, and I had to run over and get some music going. That was the only problem we had. So I appreciate it, guys.
You take it in a while.
Okay. Let's go ahead and pray our way out of here, if you would, please. Don't forget, Wednesday, 5:30 Central, 6:30 Eastern Time. Your Path Live with Bishop Mark, and then we'll be back next Sunday for our second week of Lent.
I'm staying home.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to come together today and worship you as we so rightfully should. So many people in this world do not have this opportunity and are persecuted, even killed, for just doing what we did today and saying, I love you, and giving us from giving you our praise. Lord, we ask that you continue to watch over us as we travel through this Lenten season of becoming more self-aware of our actions, and the things we do, and how we can be better Christians as we can become an introspective time of doing so. Lord, help us to continue our fasting and our things that we gave up. Especially me. we know it's difficult. We know it's there for a reason, to remind us of you. Remind us of what we're supposed to be doing. Remind us that this is a time of not only introspective, being looking back at ourselves, but also a time of giving and giving up and giving of ourselves. This should be all year, but it's a way to necessarily really make us think about that. And we appreciate that, and we thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you watch over the people in the Northeast with their, especially people over in Pennsylvania. We know that they had some major snowstorms up there, and they're still digging out up there, and actually to watch over them and help them and help all those people stay warm up there. Lord, again, what a pleasure it is to be able to come together with the friends here and across the world, friends we don't even know, and worship you and pray and learn about you and learn about each other. We're forever grateful for that. Lord, we ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, folks, thank you very much. We'll see you next week, folks. Goodbye.
Later, baby.